welcome to the sexiest podcast on the whole of the internet. Not just games, the whole of the internet. My name is Adam Cook, and joining me this week is Gary Bailey and Adam Carroll.
Oh, hello. At the same time. Whoa, how's it going?
I'd like to throw you guys off.
I think that's what he meant by the sexy. He just went both at the same time.
That is the sexiest way to take you both on. This crisis went really weird really quickly, but I'm going to add to that by just saying that right up front, it's really important that people know that I have my shirt off. We are into the territory of shirtless in cyberspace. It's those of us in the UK, if you're new to this podcast, you can tell probably by my accent, and I would assume Gary's.
Yep. If you don't know where I'm from, or if you think I'm from anywhere other than England, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
I did see that Nick on Twitter thought you were from Scotland, which was an interesting one.
I'm hoping he was joking.
I'm hoping he was deadly serious. What? And that he thinks Adam Carroll was Australian or something.
No, actually, right, before we go on here with this is actually quite interesting, because since I've moved to Canada, two people have asked me if I'm Jamaican. I'm not even fucking joking.
That took me by surprise a little bit.
Absolutely. One of many on this podcast.
Jamaican.
Like, honestly, I was on the street with my girlfriend. I was talking to her and some guy tapped me on the shoulder and said, he goes, sorry, are you Jamaican? And I was like,
Wait, whoa. A random stranger you're talking about walked up to you and tapped you on the shoulder.
I'm waiting for the traffic lights to change. I'm standing there holding my girlfriend's hand. I get tapped on the shoulder, asked if I'm Jamaican. I said, what?
That's it. He doesn't say how. My name's Bob. Just hope everything's cool. By the way, he just literally taps you on the shoulder and says, "Are you Jamaican?"
Yeah. He just went, "Sorry, man. By any chance, are you Jamaican?" And I was just like,
"Was he near you? Were you talking?"
He was standing waiting for the lights as well to change. But he seemed totally fine. I didn't see anything wrong with him as I was standing next to him. I was aware he was next to me, but to turn around and ask me that. holy fucking smokes. What way do I respond? Well, straight off, I'm clearly not Jamaican. But my face, honestly, it was just... I was just staring at him, shaking my head, just kind of going, what? You realise this whole 5 seconds that you just did there has just completely made me forget everything in my life because I'm so confused.
I tell you what, though, you should find him and thank him because it's made a fantastic start to a podcast. Maybe he knew. Maybe he secretly knew. He's seen your picture. He knew who you were. This will give him a story, he thought, maybe.
And it's happened twice, just so you know. It's happened twice.
That same thing?
That exact same thing. Someone asked me.
Different bloke.
Someone asked me in a supermarket because I was kind of talking shit. And I was just just saying bits and pieces. And then someone else was just kind of laughing at the way I was talking, I suppose. And then they just said, Jamaican?
Which is really rude.
Well, fuck it, I don't know. I don't know what way I sound. Fucking Jamaican, apparently, anyway, but that's the way it is.
No, but you said they were laughing at the way you speak, regardless of what accent they think you've got. That's very rude. Listen, let's talk about some video games, because I don't know what you're allowed to say nowadays, and I'm frightened someone's going to say something,
who knows?
When I say someone, what I'm saying is I'm frightened I'll just suddenly do a Jamaican accent, and we'll all be in trouble, and the podcast police will ban it.
Honestly, it'll have to be done by the end of the episode. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm just going to put it out there that I'm not yet done with my career in the games industry, so I'll save that one for the I've always said that when I leave I've just put up this massive blog 30,000 words, burning bridges, calling people out. I'll throw up an audio file of me doing the whole thing in a Jamaican accent. There's no segue. I was going to say rather like Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, but it doesn't work. Let's get this out of the way. No, let's ask. So I'm going to say, just straight away, to make this a 50-50 split, where basically the one of you's got to pick to say if it's good or not, I actually can get behind the way THQ Nordic do their remasters. The Definitive Edition was bad. Not the actual remaster, the title. I'm talking purely about the titles, by the way. Remastered. I can get behind that
one. The only problem is, when you say it, it doesn't sound any different to the way you'd normally say it.
Excuse me. You mean because I say remastered the correct way it's supposed to be pronounced, you mean? Is that what you're getting at there?
Don't know about that. The North is clearly better.
I just said it. I literally... Listen, I will get behind the fact that there are ways, the Northern accent there. I mean, you will always sound better swearing than I do. Gary. Yeah, there's no, you know, and actually I would say, Adam, your accent, you'll probably also always sound better swearing than I do.
But it is Jamaican, so that's the way it is, you know.
I was trying to get you into, but listen, Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered. Yeah, it's all right to do the accent of you, because you're here.
That's fine.
Yeah. So hang on. So trying to do that with a... Right, so remastered.
Remastered.
Remastered. I can get behind this. Before we move on to what the game is, are you guys... We'll start with Adam Carroll, because he hasn't played this version. Are you in favour or not in favour of the... I was going to say joke. I'm not sure it's funny enough to be classified as one, but the titling of the game.
I think... The humour I don't really see, because I don't really know the in-jokes amongst the company, if I'm thinking that hard about it, honestly. But, like, as a marketing thing, it works, but I don't really go for it. I don't really...
Okay, because what was the other one they did? Gary will be able to get this to me. There was Definitive Edition.
There was the
Which
War
was
Mastered.
Dark Souls 2. War Mastered Edition
which,
was
I
the
mean,
first
one. I mean,
that
just makes no sense whatsoever, really.
Well, it's war, isn't it? But so Adam's...
It's like, I like he's again,
it doesn't do much for... I just think it's... I don't know. It's just a bit cheesy.
Okay. And Gary, where do you stand on the naming convention?
It's nothing to do with the tone. You know, it's completely against like the tone of the games. But
is
you
it
know,
though?
Is it?
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, overall, like not just this one.
But,
I mean, like
but
all
this
of
game. Because yeah. like let's get into this. Like, let's not beat about the bush. Right, I fired this up and played for an hour a couple of nights ago, and the game starts with a scene where you and your brother, some shit goes down, blah blah blah, and I skipped all of that because I just wanted to get to the gameplay, which is surprisingly still as cathartic as it always was. Like, you just knock the living shit out of everything in this game. It is. I was surprised by how quickly my sort of hour and a half went with this, Gaz.
Yeah, it's just I always found it quite genius that they went for the open world. You know, it's like you went Red Faction, which was always about blowing everything up, basically, and then someone decided, "Hey, let's stick it in an open world on Mars." Like, all right, and the game was born, and it's brilliant. And that destruction engine is still. Fantastic.
Why is no one doing this? Like, I will say, like, I'm playing on Xbox One X and it's very smooth. It's not, I wouldn't say it's pretty, but it has its moments. There is still some slowdown in spots when it gets pretty hectic, and I've heard this the same on PS4 Pro.
Yeah, the Pro,
you played on, didn't you?
Yeah, the Pro version of like the high quality graphics mode is awful.
So maybe I need to look. I didn't think about that. I didn't notice an option to choose. But then maybe that's because it's an Xbox One X, whereas
maybe
the PS4 Pro you have to pick.
Yeah, maybe the X, it doesn't give you the option, I'm not sure. It was just in... It was in the option, I think there is just like a graphic options or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, I'll have a look.
But yeah, it's... Like, when you put it in performance, it still looks good, and it runs dead smooth, but yeah, the high-quality mode is near enough unplayable. It's just...
Brilliant.
Well, I mean,
high quality, unplayable.
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, that's it. It's just like when you're trying to, like, aim for one, you know, and at such a low frame rate, you can't. Because
so did you change the controls or did you go with the default? Because I changed the controls because I remembered that this game was this game's old, and this game if you're playing with the sort of base controls, left trigger is not aim down sights. It is clicking the stick in that does that.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest.
Did you not? No. I changed it straight away to be more modern controls, like alternative number 3 or whatever it is on there.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate it's an old game, but I think that's an important concession to have. I don't know if you could change them in the original game or not, but they're certainly in this version. I just feel like 2008, I would have noticed. Like, surely by then we were into the... maybe we weren't.
Maybe we're kind of on the cusp.
Maybe. But, like, this game's a lot of fun. I don't think I'll play through to the end. I think what it's done is wet my whistle to remind me that I actually would... I would have no problem... I mean, this isn't the last Red Faction game, was it? There was one after
this.
Yeah,
there
was
Armageddon, which was kind of... more like Dead Space.
Mm. See, I was going to say Lost Planet.
Yeah, maybe like a combination of the two, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it was all right.
Yeah, it didn't quite capture the same spirit.
No, but I would like... Well, I don't know what I would like. I don't know what I would want them to do with this.
I think
there's something there.
They'd have to go open world again, I think, because that was...
You say that, Gaz. I zoomed that map out, and that was the moment where I was like, yeah, I remember now. I'm never going to finish this.
Because if I'm honest, like, I didn't play much of Guerrilla when it came out. I think I played 1 and 2. I played 1 and 2, finished them. But I remember at the time when I got 1, it was probably the first video game I played where I was kind of truly impressed by it, so I can just blow this wall up and go through here as a shortcut. Do you know what I mean?
It was and you can do that.
And you can do that, and I remember being like completely impressed. And then I remember 2 was just a really action-packed version of 1. Like, it was just crazy over the top.
Turned it into like Die Hard.
Yeah, weren't you able to like dual-wield weapons and stuff? Like, so there was all that going on. But I the open world aspect, like, if you go open world, then you're kind of just losing that. I like when it's just confined in a small space and you can just kind of navigate by being smart with the environment. That was kind of a cool thing about Red Faction for me.
Do we want this series to come back? That's the question.
I'd like to, but I don't know. I don't know what they'd do with it. Because I suppose, like, Guerrilla was kind of the pinnacle of the series.
It's just, the reason I ask that is that whenever this sort of thing happens, like this is a genuine remaster, a remaster of like a 10-year-old game. But like whenever this sort of thing happens, you sort of go like, "Ooh, does that mean what I think it means?" And like sometimes it does, and I guess sometimes it doesn't. And I don't really know if it's needed.
Dark Side as ones did this whole thing of, you know, it's basically saying we're doing 3, and then they did 3. They're doing 3, I should say. But
THQ had some really good games.
Yeah.
If I'm honest as well, just to say about the Dark Side is the remasters, I don't think they got enough credit again. Like,
no, the first one was an exceptional remaster. Yeah, even though it was the second remaster, if you know what I mean. They remastered 2 before 1, didn't they?
But it's weird because it doesn't seem to get the attention that it deserves, and I feel that about even Red Faction. I think, like, to have... Yeah. If you go back and play Red Faction, you're actually going to have a fairly good time. It still holds up quite well. Well, the ones I've played, even the first one, it's kind of like, there's a vibe, there's a tone to it. But for it to come back again, I don't think there's an audience really there. I think this is just this is the only thing we're going to get as a remaster. Because I think if Red Faction does come back and it's trying to like reboot itself, I think we're just too far gone into games where games are kind of ahead of Red Faction now. In terms of like...
Well, in terms of everything apart from that, the structures, you know, that is still... I played that and I was still surprised at that. I was like, wow, this really is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I mean, I know the world around it is barren.
True, but the destructive environments, I think, like... When we first heard about that, like when Battlefield started bringing it in and stuff, we were all super impressed. Like, holy shit, can you blow up this? Can you blow up that? And now it's just... Like, we're not happy unless you can literally just blow up absolutely every single thing in the game.
I wonder if Crackdown is going to be like this, because that's what they were saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus, what is Crackdown even going to be?
Oh, fair point. Well, look, you mentioned that this, you know, there's a vibe for this game, or is there a vibe for this game? And Onrush. Now, I have a question before we get into this. Is Onrush doomed? Now, the reason I ask is because the game was released to critically good reception. Most people who reviewed it or covered it in some way, as is, you know, we don't always review a game, you know, just YouTube it, whatever, were very positive about this game.
Yeah.
There's pedigree behind this game, but it was released right before E3. They've constantly patched it. We talked last week about 2.0 update where they brought some stuff. I fired it up last night and I was quite impressed by, you know, the simple thing. We mentioned like the 3-second respawn.
Yes.
Fantastic. Like, having played it since, brilliant. And so then, you know, great news, everybody, as Farnsworth would say. You know, free weekend. The game is just, you know, they discounted it, that if you're a PS Plus member, it was half price. And then, even more than that, on PS4, they were like, let's just have a free weekend. And that's the weekend just gone, if you're listening to this podcast when it goes live, if you're not a Patreon. The weekend that England were playing in the World Cup, which means people were watching football. Not everyone. I'm not pretending that everyone who plays games watches football, just the same way that not everyone watches wrestling. Plays, you know, we all have varied interests, but there's a big cross-section of sports fans that play games. That's why sports games are so popular. And on Rush's free weekend was this weekend just gone. right in the middle of like the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to be negative because I really like this game, but it feels like every decision they make is smart and with heart, but it feels doomed. And I really don't want it to be because it's, as we said last week, it's one of the most unique, original concepts, which is why Adam Carroll has been playing it via the free weekend and is now going to break mine and Gary's heart, I'm guessing.
So...
some nervous laughter.
Okay. Let's talk about this. Free weekend. Got it yesterday. Yep. Played it all last night. I don't play much racing games, bar Mario Kart, which I know for some people they don't consider that a racing game. I'm talking about, like, I don't play, like,
those
serious.
Those people can go fuck themselves, can't they?
Yeah. Because
it's a racing game.
There you go. See that accent? Fuck themselves. See? Do you see?
Like, the thing is, right, I don't really play much serious racing games. It just doesn't do much for me. I'm more into the frantic, yep, over the top, this is ridiculous, no car can do that. And booting up on Rush, I did not know what to expect because it's really hard when you hear that a game such as a racing game is coming out or is out and it has all these different mechanics. And in my head, I'm like, "What? How? How can,
a racing game be that?
Yeah. Be that, exactly. Yeah, do you know how? Yeah. Like, yeah, I've played Rocket League, which isn't a racing game, but it's using cars to play football, which is like fucking bananas. But like,
I suppose Rocket League is its closest comparison, though. Actually, it's like, not. It's just you saying that is the first time it's occurred to me. But if you're going to compare it, I suppose that is its closest
in terms of like
point.
It feels obviously way heavier, like, you know, and yep, you don't have a big ball. Yeah. But anyway, I booted it up. I gotta say straight off that the opening cutscene is so action packed. It's so action packed. Like the way.
How
it's
do you feel about the attitude though? Because I think it's, you know, you look at it and it's like, oh, this is colourful, this is cool, I'm in. Then it's got that. A very specific attitude about it. And how did that get,
I kind of felt radical. Yeah. I felt personally, and one game I don't really hear said about Onrush, and I'll get to what I actually think of it overall.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
people are comparing it to the likes of Overwatch, right?
Yeah.
In its gameplay, which is fair enough. And there's a bit of Motorstorm in there, whatever. I actually feel a bit of SSX in this with cars.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that until.
Like,
but it's the fact that all these comparisons are coming up and none of them feel like 100%. Oh, it's like that. Because and it's more like it's like that, but also that and a bit of that and also kind of feels new, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a, like, I don't know. Go on.
Like, so the SSX thing comes from. When I started playing initially, now the whole presentation at the beginning with the menu, as you said, Adam, what did I think of like the kind of attitude? I actually did say
crushed
to myself that I actually enjoyed it. I thought the bright pink colours in the menu screen, I thought everything was super slick, super polished, and I thought even the choice of music, which I personally wouldn't listen to the majority of that kind of style of music. Like, it's a lot of dubstep and stuff. I just think
it's not for me, I must admit.
It's not for me, but I think it just works in this game. I don't know why, because it's in so many games like this, but for some reason with Onrush, as soon as it begins, I just want really intense dubstep or something as I'm absolutely tearing down a hill. And when it initially started, there's so much to take in your first race.
Because you're just like, definitely.
So what am I doing? Am I just bombing down this hill and crashing into people? But I was so surprised by everything that was going on.
Can I ask you a question? Because the one thing I remember distinctly from the beta and then the retail version, the one thing they still haven't changed that I think they should, when you first do a race and when your first, I don't know, probably your first 10 races, you go to pick a car. I don't think you get enough time to pick a car the first time because you're trying to read and understand the mechanics for each car. And I feel like you don't get enough time to go through them. It's kind of like you can pick between one or two, but you can't read up on enough of them. You really just have to keep playing and learn by playing.
See, I completely agree with you there because that is one of the kind of main issues I've had with my time on the game is that, like,
okay,
it does, there is tutorials, and you can go into an...
Well, they've added them. That was part of 2.0, is that you can just... Yeah, that wasn't there, was it, Gaz?
No. It was just like, the first time you picked a car, I think in the campaign, you'd get a little
give you a video. Yeah.
But that's about the extent of it in the original version.
Like, don't get me wrong. Tutorials for majority of games are needed. However, I absolutely have zero fucking time for having to pause the menu or go to the main menu, go to tutorial section, and just fucking read how to play the game. I really dislike it. I'd rather be at the beginning of the game as I'm playing, just show me step by step, but don't obviously like do a Skyward Sword on it, you know what I mean? Just pause it for 1 second, have it come up, and just the standard way. That to me is the only way tutorials should be, because you're never going to realistically, unless you really want to know, such as the trick aspect of the game, like doing stunts or whatever. Like when you first played like this game, I didn't know I could do tricks because the cars don't feel like they're going to like flip over and stuff like that, you know? So all the tricks that I was doing were by pure mistake when I was ramping up a ramp at the very edge and I did a barrel roll or something, you know, something crazy like that. And I just in my head went, oh, that was amazing. I want to do that again. But like,
you know, I really love the way it does that though. Like the barrel rolls are so easy to do. By virtue of it, just the way the game's designed. Because I remember playing the beta and like the first time I did it, I was like, that was amazing. It was only later on that I realized that it's actually I had nothing to do with it really. But it was really cool.
But that's kind of it's really cool. But in some cases, I like to be able to eventually be able to do that, you know? Like, I wonder, will I be... like, because I've only obviously had, like... I played it all last night, but I wonder if I purchase this game, which I'm really, like, going to probably do, because with G championing this game, I do think that this game is in a bit of a shit pot at the moment. And
it really is.
It's a real fucking shame, because I haven't honestly gotten into a game like this in years. Even when MotorStorm came out, which is kind of like the last of that kind of style, that I didn't even get into that. I was like, meh, whatever, I don't care. Like, Forza Horizon was maybe the last racing game where I was like, oh, this seems like so much fun and whatever. But this is doing something completely different. And the modes, I think, are very interesting. And what blows my mind throughout the whole thing is it never lets up in its, like, excitement, because you're never behind. You're never behind too far. You're always in the mix of everyone. And it's just carnage from start to finish in whatever mode you're playing. No, there's a problem to that for me personally. And that is when you're in the mix of all this that's going on, it's way too hard to focus on your HUD. Like, I just honestly could not. Like, I can see my boost, but I can't focus on who's really winning, because it's so goddamn fast and there's so many people hitting you.
Yeah, it's
and
a busy game.
It's very busy. Now, for some people, that's not an issue. That makes it exciting. But it just, I don't ever really know if I'm winning or not. And I know I can just look at the top of the screen and see a score. But the score is ramping up so fast because the whole meaning of this game is to consistently keep boosting. And that is so much fun. But, like, sometimes I just end and I go, oh, we won. Oh, fantastic. But, like, that is also strange because of each vehicle having a strategy. And that's another part of, like, how unique this is in a racing game. Like, that's where the Overwatch aspect comes into it, I guess. Like, there's a vehicle where you're pretty much just a tank. You support your team, ram into everyone, cause absolute carnage. And then, like, it's obviously, like, kind of a healer and stuff, and like when you press triangle and you go into your rush mode, it like lets off these four lines that drags all your vehicles together, and it's super weird. But then again, I don't really know if I'm actually doing a good job. Do you feel that way at all? Or like, because when you pick your vehicle, you understand what
eventually I think it's a bit more time and you will. I think there is an awful lot going on, have to concentrate on a horrendous is a bad word, but incredibly quick amount of action. So much is going on, like actually going on, as well as going on under the hood, if you pardon the pun, that I think eventually it does become, You sort of stop worrying because you know what you've got to do, like whether it's get through the gates, whether it's get in the zone, you know what you've got to do, and you worry less about the score and yeah. worry more about the doing of it. Like, it's a bit like Overwatch in that respect. Like, you know you have to stop the payload or escort the payload or whatever, yeah. so you just do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I have to say as well, and this honestly, I said this out loud when it happened, but when we were talking, I think it was last week's episode, and we were saying what game mechanic we dislike, I think it might have been the Patreon section maybe, when I was playing on Rush and when I just like rammed the car and it just slowed down, I'm sorry, that mechanic will never get old. It will it will never get old when in a racing game.
The burnout and crash thing.
It will just never, it's so unbelievably satisfying. And I love that on Rush just goes, here, do you know what we're going to do? Do you know that mechanic you love? Yeah, yeah. Well, in midair, hold down the X button to land on top of the car and just crush them. Like, when doing that is so unbelievably satisfying, dropping your entire vehicle on top of another vehicle and just slamming it into the ground. Like, it does so much and it does it so well. But how long it will keep my interest is another thing. Because I just feel racing games, I don't know what it is. I don't
think of it as a racing game. Not really.
That's true, because there isn't...
I mean, it is. It
there
is.
Isn't a finish line.
You are racing. No, but you are racing. But you're also not. It's just... I don't know. It's a strange game.
We
categorise it because everyone feels we should categorise everything. But part of me wants to just say, this is a new genre. It's also... It is and it isn't. It's not a hero shooter like Overwatch, but it has elements of it. It's not a racing game because there's no finish line, but it also is. Like, it's difficult one to pigeonhole, and I think perhaps we should just stop trying, if you know what I mean. Just accept it's something new and interesting. And more people should do that and stop just going, oh, I'm making the game with cars in it. It's a racing game. This is a developer that's gone, we're making the game with cars in it, but it's not really a racing game as such.
Yeah, I honestly just think it's a car fighting game. Like,
yep.
That is,
and it's Destruction Derby almost, you know?
Something along that lines. And I don't know, it's really cool to see like a developer like Codemasters to sit down and just like create, like, considering they had like Colin McRae Rally and stuff, you know, they were once in an area where they were creating very legit racing games, and then they went, look, we're in this day and age where people are doing racing games, proper racing games now, and it's obviously like, that's it. We need to try and step it up and do something more off the wall. And Onrush, it is that. And when I was playing it, I definitely was kind of going, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I like that. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I went away from it and I was kind of going, Jesus, Onrush is really good. It's really cool. It's a really, really cool game.
It's the game when I'm sat there thinking about playing a game. Even there's a game I've got to play for work, it's the one that sort of scratches the back of my head. Like, I kind of want to just play a couple of matches of Overwatch. Well, out two on Rush, you know?
Yeah. And I have to give credit massively to the actual like level designs, because there's nothing better than having like a good solid 15 seconds of just pure open, like open land. And you're just all just tearing down a hill. And then within a split second, a ramp appears. You'll ramp, and then you can just see your doom ahead of you. And it's just this massive pillar that you just get wrecked in. And it's just like... It's just really well designed in that level, you know, that kind of way.
The problem I think they've got is that people... I mean, I'm one of them, that there are... I mean, you might have played enough to be able to answer this, but like the mode I don't like is the zone one.
Oh, yeah, I hated that. Yeah.
Okay, right. So... They're in an awkward spot because they're not going to just say, right, everyone's saying that, we're just going to not bother with that mode. They also can't put different hoppers in there so you can select not to do that, because they must know their player count's not as high as they'd want, hence the free weekend, hence the discounts. Mm-hmm. So you are forced to do that because there's no separate hopper where you can say, like, don't put me into zone matches, because there's just not enough. They need everyone in the same playlist.
Yeah.
And that's going to pose a problem going down the line.
Yeah.
I think, because people like me will just be like, I just don't like that. I like all the other modes. I just don't like that one. I find, for some reason, I don't feel like I'm ever quick enough. I can never get in the bloody zone.
Yeah. But there is a lot of skill required in, like... in that kind of mode, I feel. I think...
Yeah.
I think the best mode on it, and it's a mode that like has existed in so many games, but I honestly think the countdown mode is my favourite because of just the general concept of the game, having to get through checkpoints, and honestly, you'll have like a half a second and you just get there, and it's always edging on 1 second each side.
Oh, motorbike's back, lads. Sorry, I haven't heard that in a few weeks, have we? Sorry.
Oh.
You might not even be able to hear it, but trust me, the listener at home is hearing the Harley Davidson outside my house. Sorry about that. I'm not going to edit this out because this is too real. Sorry, Adam.
But I think the countdown mode, like, which is basically like checkpoint, flag, whatever you want to call the actual mode, I think it's really good fun. And I also think throwing in those shadow vehicles to get speed is so cool.
Yeah.
It's like...
But see, that's where it's like a MOBA almost. Like, they're the creeps. Yeah, yeah. They're the, you know, I mean, it's not like a MOBA, but you know what I mean? There's elements of a lot of things in here.
Yeah, and it's really funny because when they kind of give you your first kind of tutorial and they introduce those kind of like things, I honestly thought that they were going to be like the enemies throughout the entire game. So I was like, so am I just going to be destroying everything because it's just a one-hit explosion with those things? But
right.
It's just, there's a lot going on and it's such an interesting type of game, and I really do think, like, you're dead right in saying that it is a massive shame that it's not a massive shame, but it's a shame of the timing for it to be coming out for a free...
It feels cursed, but there you go.
For a free trial. But even at that, it's on sale, I think, well, I know in Euro, it's like €35, I think, for the standard edition of the game.
Well, it's 25% off with another 25% off if you're a PlayStation Plus member.
Okay.
So that... probably you what, £25 probably at the maximum. So
yeah, so like even if you're like sitting on the fence and even if you're hearing this now and you're kind of going, shit, I wish I availed that at the weekend, Take the gamble, buy the game, because I really feel like that they are passionate about this, and I do think that they were in their own hearts onto something a bit more, like, because we're chatting about it, this is like what, the third time that this game has appeared on the podcast, whatever, in discussion.
Yep.
I don't play these kind of games. I'm pretty sold on it. So I think it's well worth a gamble and just, or even a blind buy. Not a gamble, just a blind buy. It's really, really interesting.
Well, we'll get onto news now, but I just wanted to mention very briefly that I've had a bit of a Switch renaissance. I haven't played the Switch much recently, bar stuff I've been working on. But I played a bit of Crash Bandicoot on Switch, and I think it's fine. It's Crash Bandicoot again. I do think it clearly doesn't look as good as the other versions. Which I suppose is to be expected, but is also a bit disappointing. I'm playing some Captain Toad Treasure Tracker on Switch, but
I'm a big fan of that game, man. I think it's.
I mean, yeah,
it's very straightforward. Look,
it's very straightforward. It's straight away when I started playing, it's like, oh, this is just lovely.
Exactly.
I never actually played it.
It will make you smile.
Yeah, I played those levels that were in Mario 3D World. That's what.
Okay.
And they were fun. So I imagine it's kind of just a much bigger version of that.
Bigger and more in depth. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the Wii U version because, you know, embargoes are weird and this is a.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. But yeah, it's one of those games that just makes you smile. Just makes you smile. Yeah. You know, and also, I have played past the demo of Octopath Traveler. I can't really talk about it because, again, embargoes and stuff. But suffice to say, yeah, that's a video game, isn't it?
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling it big time. Yeah. But again, it's a fucking enormous game, by the way. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it, so that's a guess. But from what I have played, it seems very big, very big.
I've seen people, like other critics, say they're like under like 50th hour or something within the game.
I think that's probably just I mean, I don't know what I can say because I haven't got the sheet to hand, but like I would say easily 50 hours, and if not more.
But
that's like the impression I get.
Pretty, like, in a nutshell, though, you can speak about like the 3 hours that we've all kind of played if you have gone near it.
Yeah.
Like, what's striking to you? Is there anything?
Everything you said about it. Like, everything.
It's just.
I can't say the thing I want to say because it sounds a bit too reviewy, but this game has scratched an itch I have had for some very, yes, very long time.
Exactly.
And I think maybe you and I need to talk off podcast or when the embargo's lifted. But yeah, this game's scratching an itch that I knew I had because I've talked about it before, but I didn't expect this to be the one. And yeah, everything you said about the soundtrack, my word, wow.
It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing. Yep. And like that, I didn't say like that it's scratching an itch. I didn't say that, but like that is... In a summary, that is the line. That is the line too. Yep. Because we come from a background where we love these style of games, but we just think maybe the time has passed and we don't really have the patience or really the time to play it. But there's something when I did though that 3 hours, I was I need this game. I need more of it. Dude, the art style.
I'm not as sold on that as you, but I do think it's very pretty.
Really?
It's stuff that's... I can't really get into it yet. I do have some things I want to say about that stuff, but the time's not quite right because I'll get sued. Well, I don't know that I'll get sued, but I'd be breaking an embargo. Let's talk about some news. Castlevania Season 2. What do you mean, Castlevania Season 2? Castlevania is a video game. It's also a Netflix original, and Season 2 is double the length, and it is coming on October the 26th. I am very excited because I thought that first mini sort of series, 3 episodes, was fantastic, actually.
I still haven't watched it. I need to watch it.
It's not even long. It's only like an hour, isn't
it? It's four episodes, like 20-minute long episodes, like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's really irritated that it was that short.
Yeah, I really wanted more.
It was really...
I didn't realise it was so short.
Yeah, it's 3 episodes. They were testing the waters with it, I think.
Yeah, maybe. It was really good. It's like... Don't
get me wrong. It gets going right as it finishes, doesn't it, too?
Yeah, it's not like...
It's anime. It's like anime-ass anime. Do you know what I mean? It's anime as fuck. But like,
but I think it looks fantastic, and I think it really seems to aim for Castlevania fans more so, which is fair enough. But like, it's so gothic. They hit that whole gothic theme so well.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I'm really happy it's coming back. Have they mentioned like how many episodes this one's going to be?
It's well, they said double, so it must be 6.
Okay. Still, in my opinion, too short. Like, I would definitely take a 20 episode. Like, when these kind of anime cartoon things come out, I'm kind of like, give me 10 episodes or give me 15 or something. Do you know what I mean? But
I would like a bit more. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Speaking of a bit more, right? This is perfect. Call of Duty is apparently there's the dev is staffing up for a next gen game.
Okay.
A new job listing has basically posted that they are hiring for Infinity Ward is hiring for a new project slated to appear on multiple next gen platforms. And given that like the rumors have been that the next Call of Duty is Modern Warfare 4, here you go. Excited?
Like, no. Is it? Thank you, Gary.
I suppose for me, it's like, leave Modern Warfare alone. Do something new.
You know? Is that your impression of that guy that did Leave Britney Alone? Is that the northern version of leave Modern Warfare alone?
No, it's like, it's done, isn't it? It's like, that was the one that kind of catapulted Call of Duty to where it is now. Or that began that whole process. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you've done it. You don't need to do Modern Warfare again. If you get in a completely new set of consoles, do something new with them.
I hope so.
I just don't think it needs to be a Modern Warfare. Like, if they're going to do a modern setting, fair enough. But don't call it Modern Warfare 4. Do it as something separate. Make it its own thing instead of just constantly.
Oh,
doing. I mean, let's think. Call of Duty is the same now as it always has been. You know, the gameplay is the same. All they've done is they've added stuff like being able to double jump and shit like that. But the core gameplay hasn't changed since Call of Duty 4. And it's like,
a bit like... Oh no, damn it. I was gonna. You gave me so many segues and I just wanted to take one. Come on, sorry Gaz, go.
No, please do. Please do.
The core gameplay hasn't changed, you say?
Yeah, that is exactly right.
A bit like Shenmue 1 and 2, which is the coming back out on August 21st.
Something else which like doesn't need to happen because it's shit. Yeah. There we finally go. I'm going full bore on this one.
Finally an opinion that you and I can agree on. Shenmue 1 and 2, Adam.
I haven't played them, and I want to play. I'm excited. Like,
oh man,
I'm sorry. I know. There's some, but look, there's
temper
been
that
some
excitement. Just temper the excitement.
Yeah, Gary, they will have dated poorly.
Antonio, guys, you've left off a couple of whoppers this week. This,
yeah,
this I can't.
Believe that.
This I can't even like argue over, like, because I haven't played. So I have to play this in order to go back to you, and then maybe say, guys, I actually can agree with you on this one. That's what has to happen for me. So that's the reason I'm really wanting to play this.
See, the great thing about all this is when Chris listens to this, he's going to be doing his fucking nut. Yeah. He loves these games.
A bit like me, Gary, when I saw that Merge Games is bringing Dead Cells to the retail stores in North America and Europe, and we have a date for the release.
That was a good segue.
But I've unfortunately fucked it up by not reading far enough ahead to get the date, August the 17th. There's a rather nice... I feel I'm worried I'm overhyping this game. I've been going on about it for
you
so
have
bloody long.
You have hyped
it. I'm confident that people will enjoy it. I'm going to have to find a few pounds. I'm going to have to scratch together some money because I really do... You know, I put my money in my mouth is, but unfortunately the Signature Edition is only like... I can't see a price for the Signature Edition.
Well, I think looking at it, it's like the ones that have been released before
that's
on Switch, and they were about a tenner more or something like that.
Okay,
they
so
weren't
that's
like super expensive. Because it's not like a massive collector's edition, you know, a statue or anything. So it's...
But it's 2,000 copies it's limited to, so I'm going to have to... I feel I'll regret it if I don't scratch together some change for that. And speaking of change, Fortnite's making some change, isn't it? 5 times as much as PUBG with half as many downloads, apparently, which is a messed up way of saying a lot less people are downloading Fortnite. But those people... No, I don't think that is what they're saying. I think they're saying that half as many are actually spending money on it. And that is insane. And that's not all the Fortnite news, because Playground mode is going away on July the 12th, but coming back later. And I wanted to talk about this because... My son was playing this the other day and he built like a little fort, like he built like a bridge between two forts. And I wonder, right, you know how people say like Fortnite kind of stole PUBG's lunch? You know, they had this game and then they released the Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder, looking at what this new mode is, where you get an hour to just play with you and just your friends, no competition, unless you want competition, you can just knock around and build. That sounds a bit like Minecraft.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What if Playground mode is broken out into a third mode? Because the game's popular that kids are already playing it, and now they can build stuff in it.
It'd be interesting. I'd be interested to see if
they
do
that. If I was in charge of Epic, I would 100% remove the time limit and make people be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they've already done like the PvE as well with the main Save the World stuff. So if you bring in stuff like the zombies and that from that into Playground, you know, where you you can do your building, but you also, whether they do it like at night like Minecraft or something, you know, and you've just got to,
they could iterate on this game, because what they've got is a game to build on, literally. I mean, this mode that when they bring it back, apparently you're going to be able to do 1v1s and 2v2s, aim assist for controllers, edit each other's structures, traps affect your teammates and enemies properly, highlight teammates on the map, and damaging enemies with your pickaxe. So nothing drastic in terms of additions, but yeah, the potential for this mode, I think, is pretty big.
I think there could be honestly too much at times in games. I think like it gets to a stage where yeah, it might be good. Like if this Minecraft kind of idea is floating around, really and truly, like both of you, would you both continue to play? Because like if they start bringing that stuff in, that is when certain gamers, especially hardcore Fortnite gamers, are going to become so ridiculous at the game that these kind of new additions and these new mechanics kind of just get overwhelming, and you just can't really spend enough time to get that good at these things. So I don't know. It's going to happen, no doubt, that this kind of stuff, because they're just sitting on an absolute gold mine, and it's just people are all about it. I don't think we do a podcast ever, and there isn't Fortnite news. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think that's going to stop, because apart from anything, like, there isn't any news at the moment. It's the summer. nothing's happening, which is, you know, fine. Means we get to play games. But it does mean we got a lot of listener correspondence this week. And I think some of these questions are going to be hard to answer, lads. So then about you, have you had a... So from our Discord, which you can join if you're a Patreon or not, go on Twitter, you'll find links for that. Chris Hyde 83 asks, what's one fact about each of you that the other people on the podcast won't know?
So I can give you two very quick ones. One, I have a ginormous fear of frogs.
I wondered where you were going. I really did wonder where you were going with that one.
Are you sure you want to admit this?
I know.
I'm almost sure someone's going to tweet you a picture of a frog.
Well, I...
Well, they are now. Now they've been given the idea.
Listen, I have a strategy. I get through these things. It's okay. But I have a massive fear of frogs, and I've seen frogs with my own two eyes, and I have ran so goddamn far.
Did you get frightened of Mario then when he had the frog suit?
Well, I was thinking of Zelda with frogs and stuff.
No. Hang on a fucking second here, right?
Only real frogs, is it maybe?
No, because there's something to be said about this, right? There has to be a huge fear of frogs. There is a horror movie just called Frogs. And also, if you think about it, frogs are in so many goddamn games, right? The Witcher first DLC, I think it's fucking, what was the first? Heart of Stone? Was that the first
Hearts
DLC?
Of Stone. Yeah.
You fight a ginormous motherfucking toad.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And I was so goddamn upset because it's disgusting, it's horrendous, and I just didn't want to play.
Have you played Resident Evil Zero?
Yeah.
Did you get frightened at that bit then?
Gary, everything. Mario Odyssey.
What about the hunters in Resident Evil 1?
Yeah.
Because I kind of think they're just standing up frogs.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's more like, I think, like the ones in Dark Souls.
But man, in Resident Evil, they even jump like frogs. They jump like frogs and they swing their... They do. I'm sorry. Those hunters, they're frogs.
So, but the thing about it is as well, is that like when Mario Odyssey came out, I remember getting Odyssey going, fantastic. And the first thing you possess, a fucking frog. No, I wasn't scared of that frog. That frog looked very lovely. It was a very friendly-looking frog. But, you know, come on. Why is it a frog? Like, for fuck's sake.
Because it's silly.
And the second fact, this one's a whopper. This is an absolute mind-blower. Because I remember
I'm Irish.
I'm actually Jamaican. No, right? The thing about this, before we started recording... Adam Cook, you sang a Neil Young song. Not to us. Not from start to finish.
I just did the lyrics to Hey Hey My My.
Yeah, but just so listeners know, you didn't just sing a song to us before we recorded. But anyway.
they know what I'm like.
So you sang that, and that made me realise that this question has a very good answer to that, because I was supposed to be called Zuma.
My name was supposed to be Zuma
because it's the name of a Neil Young record, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And going back, my father wanted to do that because my sister's name is Lindsay, named after Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
That's good. I like your parents.
Okay. So then my father went obviously crazy or something. And
decided, that's a bit of a stretch.
Do you know what you do? Because it'll make it totally easy in school in Ireland. Let's call this this Irish boy Zuma. And thankfully, my mother said, we cannot do that.
Like,
but it was because
he was
listening to Neil Young. But thankfully, I wasn't supposed to. That's one very random
That's two good ones, though. That's two good ones.
Yeah.
Gaz, do you want to go next or shall I?
I don't really think I've got any. I'm a very boring person.
Okay, look, all right, I'll give you one then. This is a whopper. I have a crippling amiibo addiction. That's not going to cut it, is it? I have a surprisingly large penis.
Jesus Christ.
No, that's not going to cut it either, is it? I'll tell you a true one then. I was born during a thunderstorm. It's not particularly exciting. Sorry?
Born, was it in the house, in a hospital?
No, or it just was thunder. It was thunder and lightning. No, there was like a massive thunder and lightning storm while I was being delivered.
And were you told this? Or Like,
yeah, my mum told me. Yeah, yeah, like, you know, the world knew what it was, what was happening.
yeah. I suppose, you know, if we're going in that kind of theme, I was named after Gary Lineker.
That's pretty good.
The Walker's Crisp Men. Well, also known as a football player.
Yeah. I'll give you another one. My initials are APC, which obviously spells out Armoured Personnel Carrier. Being a larger gentleman, never like that. That's, you know, never like that. Here comes the APC. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. I'm not gonna tell you the only fear I have, because
come on,
not a chance. Because
we got listeners who support this podcast. Don't be harsh. Listeners want to know. They want to get to know us.
There's nothing you could do that is gonna put
me at
risk
of that.
See, mine's easy because mine's like. Well, you saw this on Sea of Thieves. You know, the whole open water thing. That's
thalassophobia.
Yeah, but you... Yeah,
I'm going to say that every time anyone ever brings it up, because I'm just real proud I know that now. Because there's a subreddit for thalassophobia. It's thalassophobia, isn't it?
Thalassophobia,
yeah. Because I was looking through it, so like, this is really cool. I'm fascinated by this. And then you're like, oh, no, I have that. Oh, wait, okay. I thought it was just something really cool.
It's one of those weird things, though, because if someone just, I don't know, like, puts up a picture of the sea, I'm not going to be afraid of it. You know, it's more the fear of actually being there or experiencing something of it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But mine wasn't as cool as, well, cool's not the right word, but Chris's reasoning for his. Mine, there is none. You know, mine is an irrational.
No, but that's why fears are irrational, because, you know. Yeah.
Because fear of what is your fear, Adam?
My fear is not moving on to another question, so I'm going to get over that fear.
Right,
and say,
listeners,
who wants to know?
You know what to do now. The listeners have to consistently pester you
I'll use this as marketing. I'll tell you in the Patreon bit, and that way people have to pay to hear what my fear is. Right, so Mick McPoo wants to know, if there was a God is a Geek battle royale, who'd be the last person standing?
I think we all know the answer to that one.
It's me.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. I get the feeling that isn't what you were going to say. I think it would be me, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to bring people down. I survived a heart attack. I'm partially joking. I'm indestructible. Like, a heart attack couldn't take me. I'm still standing. Like Ubisoft at the start of their E3 press conference. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the real answer to that is. There's a secret for you. Hang on. A fact that people don't know about, I had a heart attack. No one's ever heard that before. I've never mentioned it. Bombshell. I don't know. Who would be the last one to... I don't know.
I'd say Nicola.
I don't know.
She's
start. She is, but I'm quite big. I reckon I'm probably the biggest chap. I'm 6'3". I nearly said what my job was. I do quite a physical activity every day. I'm fairly fit for a man my size. I'd back myself. I would. I wouldn't back myself in much. I'd back myself. Yeah, Nicola,
if you'd seen the stuff that she can fucking bench, though, and that. I reckon she could knock you out.
I can carry weight. I'm trying not to say what I do for a living, but I carry weight. And not around the midriff before any fuckers. I don't know. Let's just be glad it's never going to happen. Well, it might, the way this country and this world's going. Who knows? Maybe we will be pit well against one another, dropped onto an island, and yeah. Adam, do you have any opinions before we move on?
I'm going to say Mick, because he plays like a lot of like Destiny and Monster World and these kind of things, and he knows how to organize his gear. So I'd say.
You know, I think you might be. I think when it comes to the survival part, I'd be shit. I wouldn't be able to start a fire or catch a fish. Or
man,
anything.
Look. To be honest, me personally, I couldn't be arsed. I'd just be like, lads, look.
Yeah, just leave me.
Couldn't be arsed running around no after you. Just, I'm out. Done.
David Ayers wants to know, what is the one franchise or game you have to play to be considered a gamer?
See, this is actually right. By the way. Amazing questions this week. I have to say that to the listeners.
Yeah, top questions.
Absolutely fantastic questions went through. This one is a very, very tough one, because immediately you're going to gravitate towards your favourite game.
I don't know. I was thinking this, and I just think it's Mario.
See, either that or something like Tetris, maybe.
Tetris is the one. Tetris is the safe and true answer.
Am I right in thinking it's still the biggest selling game ever?
No, I don't think so. I think Minecraft's probably eclipsed everything, hasn't it?
I thought that, I'm sure... This was a while back, though. I'm sure, like, Minecraft was, like, number three.
I thought Tetris is a very safe answer.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those games that anyone can play as well, and it's just... It's so simple. You don't have to be good at it. I'm certainly not, but I don't know.
It's a really hard question because I totally do get the Tetris thing, and I do get, like, that's a very good starting point. But then again, like, saying Mario, like... Is that probably realistically would be the first thing you'd maybe give somebody? Do you know, you go Mario, like, because it just has so many elements. But Tetris is a good show as well. But then
I think it is. Yeah,
I suppose. Like, I mean, we should kind of state that it's gamer in quotation marks.
Yeah, none of us really care. Yeah, I think it's part of the fun here. Like, we all. Truthfully, don't give a shit in terms of that. It's like, you play what you want to play.
None of us believe that you have to play a certain game to be a gamer. But yes,
no. I think if you were looking for an answer to that question, I think Tetris is the one.
Okay. Tetris. Let's go for it.
Okay. On Twitter, at Angry Fodder, Craggles Craig says, "Games media often seems at odds with its audience." This is a fucking terrific question.
Fantastic.
Games media often seems at odds with its audience. It's a great question. I can't actually speak for some reason. One more time from the top. Games media often seems at odds with its audience, with YouTubers and each other. Does games journalism have an attitude problem? And I like this. This is not directed at you or your site.
Thank God.
Yes, it does in spots. Like, in there are small pockets of people who think they are more important than the game. They are better than the game. They are better than their audience. They are better than their peers. Or they don't have any peers that they only look down at people. I'm not going to name names because I don't know that there's any specific people I can think of. But there is definitely an element of... I think, again, not to be too insular, I've always very much tried to hammer home to everyone on this site that it's always a very privileged position to be in when you get a build of a game early and you get to play it early because you're then helping guide other people to spend money or not on a game. Yeah. You know, you don't have to pay for it, they will, and it's so important that you never forget who you're writing for. I do think there are elements, or rather small portions of the games media who have forgotten that and are writing for one another a little bit, but I do think that's a very small minority. You guys?
I'm still on that whole thing of, like, I love it when someone says to me, you know, I bought this game because of your review or whatever. That kind of, cause
to me, that's massive. Amazing. I'm
like, yeah, because I'm like, I can't believe that, you know, even though I believe my own stuff, it's like, I believe in myself, I should say. It's still weird because I think, nobody really listens to me that much. You know, so it's quite cool when people do it. And like you say, I think there are certain people, but again, it is a very small minority.
Minority, but they do 100% not have in mind. Like, they're the people who tell you, I don't know if I want to say that. I was going to say, I think some people will be like, my opinion is fact. And of course it is, by virtue of it being your opinion. But then you get into the territory of when people say someone else's opinion is wrong. And that's, for me, someone who's lost sight of... That's basically someone who's become that YouTube commenter. You know what I mean? That we all say, don't read the comments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think it's a very small minority, but I think they've forgotten that it's about being... Not... You know, you're part of the machine, but you're also the most important part, arguably, because, not to sound self-important, people do value a review or a video, whatever form... the person on the end of the content wants to take, you know, whether it is a traditional scored review in a magazine, online, whether it is a video review, whether it is just an opinion piece about it, whether it's a podcast where they talk for 20 minutes about Onrush and they go, oh, I'm going to give that game a try now. I think it's so important. I think that really helps people who don't have thousands and thousands of pounds of dispensable income that they can actually... You know, and that's why I always said, don't just listen to one person. Don't just listen to one site. Find people, because there'll be people on God is a Geeky like, my opinions don't match theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's but use different people from different outlets and build up your own sort of mini cabal, I guess, of people you trust because you think their opinions usually is on par with yours. And like, also, if you're like in love with a game and you're like, oh, you know, this game's going to be so amazing, 10 out of 10s, it's going to get to, and it does, and then it gets a couple of fours. Maybe read those fours and just see what they think the problem with the game is, because I think that's valuable insight as well. There's a real tendency for people to be like, my opinion is all that matters, and that's a very arrogant way to go, and I think it's more important that to use, it's not a popular thing to do to say read other sites, but I think you should read as much as you can whilst obviously always clicking on godisageek.com first, but like, you know, there's enough internet for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when I read this question and I saw, does the game journalism have an attitude problem? For me personally, like, to keep a long story short, I came on this podcast solely because you asked me, Adam, because all we ever really do is either talk music or games. And my pure love for video games and doing this podcast is because I just love fucking talking games. I've met people through this site who I consider friends. It's all part of it. But there's something has to be said about the fact that, and I know that like a lot of it is to blame with the internet. I don't mean to sound like an old man, but like it just is, because I feel game journalists don't feel like they're honest. I don't feel majority of them are honest anymore. I think a lot of what they do these days is a fucking burden, or it's a struggle, or it's like, oh, it's hassle and all.
Not to defend, but I will just say it doesn't help that it is a horrendously underpaid industry in terms of games media. Like, I've dabbled a lot now. Like, you know, anyone who listens to this pod, anyone who cares enough to listen to this podcast will know I've been popping up elsewhere recently. And I've been doing that for a number of years now, and there's some times where you think, wow, this is incredibly well paid, but the majority of it is always like, the overriding feeling I always got as someone in my 30s with a family, with a mortgage, is like, I am never going to be able to quit my shitty day job to do this. Never.
Completely.
And that's not great, you know?
That isn't great, but to me, sometimes you kind of have to step outside of the box and kind of go, look, it is what it is. It's very hard. We all know that. But at the same time, when you were like 5, 6 years old playing video games or whatever, you weren't thinking of money then. You weren't thinking of that kind of shit. You were thinking of this game, everything about this game, what it's doing for your brain, the whole lot, and how it was making you feel. As like, honestly, as E3 passed, I've been listening to like various video game podcasts that I do enjoy a lot. Now, I'm not naming names, but like so many fuckers came on their podcast and they just say, we're so exhausted from E3. Like, don't get me wrong, it was amazing, but we're so exhausted. There was just so much going on. We were 2 weeks on the floor. Oh, boo fucking who? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, we're here. Like, I'm going to say it straight out. Like, I'm in Canada in my fucking little bedroom, in my fucking underpants, because it's quite hot, and I'm doing a podcast, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And that is just the way it is. And talking about video games is fantastic. And there's very little that I see anymore in the mainstream audience from journalists that sound, not to preach us or anything, but sound like us. You know, when we talk about stuff, we're happy to do this. Some people are like, it is just all money now, and I get it. But where was, before you did that, you had more passion. And some people now have just, they've become fed up and they openly don't get excited anymore about certain games. And I don't get what it's about. Like, in a world that's fucking miserable enough as it is, like, why can't you be more exciting to people who are sitting at home and they listen to you for enjoyment and want to get excited about certain other things and get that game and communicate online with you? It's really fucking weird, and I don't really know where the future is within it all.
Yeah.
But like, all I can ever say about this is just have fun doing it and enjoy it, because it is a lot of fun, and it goes for absolutely anything. And I'm not trying to give a motivational speech or anything like that, because it sounds like that.
Do it.
But I just do get very pissed off with people's attitudes in certain, because I came from a music background, and I dealt with nearly the exact same style of thing, where you have the bigger people and they're so pig ignorant to the little people, and it's just, it kind of has to stop. And I feel like,
but isn't that the whole of the society, rather? That's just everyone.
Oh, completely. But I'm just talking about, like, in a simple world of music or games. Like, I'm not trying to say I'm trying to fucking run for president, like, do you know? Like, it's just, video games are just a simple thing where everyone is supposed to be in the same area, the same head zone, the same fucking thing. And when you're in a room and it's socially awkward, because I've actually, in my little time of being in this little world, I've been in a room with game journalists where I've been like, I know you from X, Y, and Z. I wouldn't mind having a beer chatting, but you just don't get that impression that they want to. Because, yeah, they don't fucking know who I am. But at the same time, there's this, like, invisible barrier that I see where it's like, don't come near me because I'm this person. And I'm just like, I've no time for it. And I just, like, there's, for me, I just unfollow these kind of people and I don't go anywhere near it. And if you, for anyone that sees this kind of stuff, just get rid of them because it's no good for you. Just follow the people that you love and that make you kind of feel motivated because that's the only way forward, I think. Boom. Okay. Mic drop.
Right. No, that's fine. Let's end on a quick hit then. John Legg at Legg underscore John. Alien Isolation is a fucking masterpiece. Don't know why he's telling us that. I remember playing The Last of Us while it was thundering, lightning storm was going on outside. What's the most atmospheric game you've played while being helped along by an outside influence? I can't think of one. The only thing I can think of is barely even tangentially similar, is that I remember the PT demo was released not long after I was in recovery from the heart attack. I wasn't an alcoholic or anything, and I remember that game, I was playing it to sort of test my nerve to see if I was okay, and I wasn't at the time. I've had to go through some stuff to get better, but that shook me up so much I had to go outside in broad daylight and go and play football with my kids on the field because I was like, I just need to go and be with people. So I don't think that's quite the answer to the question, but it's, you know, if either of you got anything like that.
Well, can we first address very quickly, Gary? Alien Isolation.
I don't think we have time for this discussion.
Adam Cook. I know. But this.
We'll do a special one time. Let's just get Gary in a room and we'll do a one-time special. Get him to list all his fucking terrible opinions, and we can just knock it out for once and for all.
I'll very quickly say Silent Hill 2.
Right. Was it foggy out?
Yeah, it was actually the time. I remember vividly, kind of like during the time of my first playthrough of Silent Hill, there was like, it was just really bad weather in Ireland, and like it rains a lot there anyway. But this one particular week, it was very foggy. I remember going to school in the morning and on the bus going, fuck, it's very foggy. And I remember being kind of spooked out because I was only after playing Silent Hill 2 the night before. So, yeah.
Gary, are you going to say heavy rain when it was raining? Or have you got any? It's a very specific question. I said that PC one is I just couldn't think of one.
Yeah, and I suppose the closest thing I've got, which is not really particularly interesting, was just playing the original Resident Evil, like Christmas morning, but like really early. So it's like
Christmas
still dark
morning.
Out.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's like it's dark outside still kind of thing. So I suppose it's like it's the closest I can get to.
Yeah, that's the same with
that's
mine.
That's a very
tangential.
Good question.
It is. Maybe we'll think about it and try and, you know, do it again. I don't know. We'll try and come back to that one perhaps, because that's worth putting a pin in and having a bit more of a think about, I think. On that note, it's time to say goodbye now, though. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me, Adam and Gary.
Absolutely.
Yep. I enjoyed it. Gary.
Enjoyed it till that bit about the in Alien Isolation and the bit where we do a podcast especially about your bad opinions. You enjoyed it apart from that, I'm sure.
I actually think, genuinely before we leave, that is a superb idea. A podcast with Gary's bold statements. That is what it should be titled.
It's
Gary's
just
bullshit.
Me pissing off everyone.
We should
GarysBullshit.com.
I think one hour we let out all our bold statements in
mate,
video games.
I think that's more than 1 hour of a podcast. I think it's 1 hour a week for Gary at least. Maybe one day we'll do that. We'll stick it on Patreon or something and, you know, give it to people there. But speaking of Patreon, for $1 a month you get this podcast early. You get it an exclusive extra section where we talk about other stuff than games. Sometimes games as well. We talked about 4K stuff last week because Gary's adventure in 4K is continuing. What have we talked about? We talked about loads of stuff in the past, movie reviews, music, but that's patreon.com/godisageek. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at godisageek. I'm at GBSF, Adam's at Adam Zokes, and Gary's at BlueFury47. Of course, facebook.com/godisageek, youtube.com/godisageek. You know by now, Instagram, we don't use that very much. We should. I don't think we're on anything else. We probably are. Podbean is where you can subscribe to this podcast, which is our host, but you can get it on YouTube as well. But that's about it for this week. Thank you very much for spending an hour and a bit with us. We appreciate it as always. Again, Adam and Gary, thanks for being here. yeah, that's it. We will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Goodbye for now.